Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12 this evening. 2 Corinthians 1, 12. You know, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, it says, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you." Verse 12, let's read it again. "For our boasting is this," this is just say, our, you know, we're proud of this in you, "the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you." In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, in the NIV, it says, "Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity." So everyone said simplicity and godly sincerity. Here it says integrity and godly sincerity. I want to talk about those words, simplicity and godly sincerity, and just you know, look at some verses concerning that, but that's what I had on my heart this evening, and we're going to see those different words used in different verses, but let's look at, or you don't have to, you're not going to look at anything, I'm just going to read you some things. Simplicity, it means the state of being simple, uncomplicated, uncompounded. The state of being simple, uncomplicated, uncompounded. Some synonyms are plainness, unity, uniformity, unsophistication, homogeneousness. It gives the idea that it's the same throughout, uniformity. You know, simple, you can think of simple in a negative term, like somebody's just simple. Well, simple's not a bad thing. And you see in this here, simple, it means that you're the same. It means that you're uniform. It means that it might seem plain to some people. Could seem something's plain, but there's certain things, you don't want a lot of complexity when it comes to certain areas. And that certain antonyms and near antonyms of this word, one is complexity, sophistication, intricacy, complication, elaborateness. You kind of get the idea. Now, we read the first thing, Paul was saying, we conducted ourselves in simplicity. One thing, and godly sincerity. So then the word sincerity, it means the act or fact of being honest, clear, or direct. Honest or direct is what it says here. Related words are honesty, integrity, forthrightness, straightforwardness, candor, truthfulness, reliability. Some dissimilar words are insincerity, hypocrisy, deception, duplicity, falseness. So you can see here when you're talking about being sincere, that means it's straightforward. It's clear. But the opposite of that is duplicity, falseness, deception, hypocrisy, insincerity. So you see these things together. Simplicity means just uniform, homogeneous, not sophisticated, plain, uncompounded, uncomplicated. So it's really clear, it's just simple. And sincere means it's just straightforward. It's the same. It's reliable. It's truthful. Forthright. It has integrity. But notice the opposite of those two is complication. If you were to take the opposite, complications, intricate. It's not that intricate in itself is bad, but here we're talking about in relation to specific things. We're talking about relating to God and our faith and all that. Complexity, complication, elaborateness. And then the opposite of sincerity, hypocrisy, deception, duplicity, falseness. So you start to see one is really clear, simple, straightforward. The other is shape-shifting. You don't know what you're getting. It's real complicated. You just don't know. So before we go on, let's read the 2 Corinthians 1:12 in the NIV. Last verse we read, it says, verse 12, this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially in our relations with you. Here it says with integrity. The other word, other version says simplicity, but you can say integrity. It means it's the same. It's just, they both go. Simplicity is just very simple. Integrity means it's just always the same. It's just simple. In other words, it's not this one and this one, and oh, you never know what you're going to get. Simplicity and godly sincerity. Now look at this. The 2 Corinthians 11:3. It says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So he's saying, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So the, you know what happened? He's talking about Adam and Eve. Eve, what happened? They, Adam and Eve were created. I mean, this literally happened, okay? They literally were in the Garden of Eden. Literally walked with God, had a relationship with God, and Satan, as a serpent, you know, we don't know what all that looked like exactly, but he came to Eve and said, has God really said, see, it was real simple. God laid it out for him, told him, you know, you can eat of all the trees, just don't eat of this tree. He came and said, is that really what he said? God, he's implying he's holding back on you. He said, well, he knows that when you eat it, you're basically going to be enlightened. So all of a sudden, something that was really simple, hey, don't do that. Here's, you can do all this, just don't do that. Real simple. Three-year-old could understand it, although very representative. A three-year-old's going to want to touch that thing. You tell a three-year-old, you can do all this, but don't do this. You say, you play all these toys, don't play with that toy. They're going to be like, I want that one. That goes way back. You're going to have all this. God was really clear, very simple, very straightforward. But Satan came and said, it's not that straightforward. God is holding out on you. If you eat it, he knows you're going to know something. You're going to be changed. He's not really for you. He's holding back on you. It's more complicated than it appears. That's how evil works. See, not straightforward, not clear. Here's out, here it is, transparent. This is the way it is. It's, we don't know. It could be this, it could be that. We don't know. It's complicated. That's the way the devil came to Eve. So let's read that again. It says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived. You know what deceive means? It means to cause someone to think on something that's not true. Eve was deceived. Satan deceived her, caused her to think on something, even though God communicated with Eve directly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they told Adam, maybe she had it indirectly through her husband on that, but it's not complicated. But Satan deceived her, introduced things that made it seem different than what it was. You remember how we mentioned, like, sincerity, the opposite of sincerity is deceptiveness, it's duplicity, it's falseness. Satan wasn't sincere when he's coming up. He's lying. He knows the truth, but he knows Eve doesn't know the truth. He knows Eve is green. You know what I mean by that? Young, new. He's been around for we don't know how long. Satan's been around. He was around. He, from all indication, the Bible, he was one of the chief angels in heaven. He's been around. He knows God, but he knows Eve doesn't know anything. And so he can lie to her, and she buys it. So he said here, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That word corrupted, you're talking about something that was clean, but now it's corrupted, now it's dirty, now it's not pure. From the simplicity, in other words, it was pure, it was clean. So there was introduced something that was not pure, not easy, not straightforward, and caused the fall. 2 Corinthians 11:3 in the NLT, it says, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ, see that your pure and undivided devotion to Christ. So it's pure and it's not separated. It's just, I'm just going after God. I'm just going after Jesus. It's divided. It's separated. It's corrupted. It's made so that pulled away from the simplicity. It says, I fear lest somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. In the Amplified, it says, but I'm afraid that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, your minds may be corrupted and led away from the simplicity of your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You see, it's just giving the picture of something that's pure, something that is undivided, something that has integrity, and making it so that it's no longer that. It's complicated. It's got a lot. We just don't know. Satan loves it when we just don't know, when it's complicated. We're going to see that more. Let's read some more verses. Look at Acts 2, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41 says, then, so this is the early church. It says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. This is the beginning of the early church. Peter has preached to everybody. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. But notice how they were. This is the early church. They just got born again. They just trusted God. They just got to come into the family of God. And notice, look at verse 46 again. So continuing daily with one accord, that's unity. They're all together in the temple. Breaking bread, that they're just eating from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. In other words, they're just going along, chugging along, just simply, plainly, easily. Not complicated. This doesn't look like a complicated thing here. This is just simple. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So they were just chugging along, and people got saved. People got to know, they got to know God better. They were just living as Christians and just in just life. Notice, very simple, not, ooh, this is complicated. There's all these things. You know, people today, they're like, oh, life is just so hard and complicated. Well, you know, this was during the Roman Empire. They could have been doing something different. There's a lot of stuff going around them. It's a different time, but there's a choice here that they're living this way. They're in one accord. They're going from house to house eating. They're listening to teaching. They're eating their bread with simplicity, with a gladness of heart, praising God, enjoying life, pressing into the things of God and being simple. And there's this press, you know, it has been for a long time. Just life is just complicated. We can't do that. Well, really? Or are there things that just pull and we yield to them and they are trying to complicate things, but we choose what we want to do. And it's an effort to say, you know what? Maybe there's too much in these different things. I got to make it simple, because we're going to read more verses. When you talk about the things of God, it's not supposed to be complicated. When it gets complicated, Satan starts to work. He likes it complicated. You know, people say in their lives, well, this situation's just complicated. They may have a lot of details, but we go into the Word of God and just doing what it says, that's not that complicated. Sometimes it's, I don't want to do this, and if I do it, I'm going to have to change this or that, so that it's easier to say that's complicated than to just say, I don't want to do that. Well, it's complicated. Well, when it's complicated like this, intricate, it gives a place for the enemy to work. Because he can say, and this is the favorite thing, you would like to do that, but this, and this, the end result is you're not going to do it. Let's say it's what the Word of God says. This is what I know I should do. This is what the Word of God says. This is what I know what's best for me. But the thought is, yeah, but it's complicated. In other words, I'd like to do it, but, well, what's the end result? Don't do it. What's the end result? It's the same as somebody going, don't have any intention to do that. Never had, never will, not going to do it. But saying, I want to, but it's complicated, or there's this thing. I'd like to, but I got this. Well, maybe, should I do that? What I see this, but man, I'd have to put this down. Should I be doing that? Sometimes by trying to do this, cover all these bases, that's what makes it hard, because now which thing am I going to do? Versus now it comes real easy. What am I doing? I'm doing this. What are you doing tomorrow? I'm doing this. What are you doing the next day? I'm doing this. Do you notice they said they're just breaking bread daily, going from house to house, in the temple, just enjoying life. Well, you're just plain. It's too easy. Well, they just keep going. It's easy. Just keep going. You know, when somebody is really centered up on something, whether it's natural, whether it's spiritual, you know, you talk about an Olympic athlete or something, they're not trying to do 15 things. They're just going to do this one thing. Why? Because that's what they got to focus on. In that sense, you could say they might be doing this super intricate skill, but in one sense, you could say their life is very simple. Because they're not trying to do that intricate skill in 10 different areas. They said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it here. And what do they have to do? I got to push everything else aside because I'm going to do this. Well, we can live in simplicity and sincerity of heart. So uncomplicated, uniform, not complex, not elaborate. But you know what? You avoid deception. Some of the things with the sincerity, deception, falseness, living with integrity. These things, the more complicated things are, the more busy they are, the easier it is to throw stuff in. You know, you ever read a contract where it's like 20 pages and you're like, I'm just trying to get this thing agreed to, and I got to read all this. And it's like, there's a lot here. You need to pay a lawyer to figure out what is going on so I don't miss something because they're so complicated and so many details that I might think it's one thing, but it's another thing versus, yeah, here's the intent and it's three paragraphs and we're done, but we got to cover all these contingencies because you know it's complicated. You know, a lot of that stuff never even comes into play. Look at Colossians 3, verse 22. Colossians 3, 22 says, bondservants. You could use this as employees, somebody that is working for somebody that has a responsibility to do something for somebody. Look at, obey all in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Notice it says, go back to verse 22, not with eye service. In other words, we'll read in a different version, but not with when they're looking at you as just pleasing them, but in sincerity of heart, so integrity, truthfulness, candor, no deception, no duplicity of heart, fearing God or reverencing God. So that's why you're doing it. Verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. In other words, you're not doing it for them. Look at that in the NIV. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to carry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working to the Lord, not for human masters. You could say not for human employers, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Let's go back to verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly master. You can say employees, you know, work for your manager, your boss, your employer. You could say really anything that you're employed in, serving in, whatever you're doing, if you're doing it for somebody on earth. Do it not only when their eye is on you and curry their favor, but here's the key, with sincerity of heart, or that would be integrity of heart or honesty or straightforwardness or candor and reverence for the Lord. In other words, you honor God, so you're doing something with people. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is Lord Christ you are serving. So again, sincerity, I'm doing it honestly. I'm just working for the person, regardless if they're there, regardless if they're somewhere else. I'm working for them. But notice also this idea. It's just, who am I serving? I'm serving Jesus. I'm not serving the person. Say, well, you know, so here's where you can see the idea of the simplicity too, even though it's not mentioned here, because this is the Bible. You'll see truths throughout everything. See, it's easy to go, well, I'm not going to serve that guy. He's a jerk. That's not what the verse says. The verse says you're not serving him. How about Jesus? Is he a jerk? Well, that guy doesn't treat me fairly. Hey, question, does God treat you fairly? Who does it say we're serving? Go back to verse 22 again. It says, slaves, obey your masters, your employer, employers, and everything. Do it not only when their eye is on you and to carry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and honor, reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So you're working as if Jesus is your boss. Because you know what? In reality, he is. You might be serving somebody or working for somebody earthly, but you're saying, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to behave as if God himself, Jesus himself is my boss. Verse 24, since you know that you will receive verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance for the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Well, that makes it simple. That makes it easy again. That makes it, well, no matter who I'm working for, if I believe God's led me to this job and this is what I am doing, or if I feel like I'm moving on while I'm there, I'm not working for the person. I am, but in reality, I'm not. I'm working for the Lord. So that changes. Now it takes all the, well, they're stupid, they're an idiot, they didn't treat me right, to I'm kind of skipping you, and I'm going to, I'm not saying you stay in a bad situation. Go to the Lord, see if you should be at that job or in that position, and if you're not, move on. But while you're there, this applies, right? And so then it just takes all the complications. Somebody else goes, well, they're a jerk. I'm not going to do this. Say, well, I don't serve them. I've served Jesus, so my command is the same. You know, this makes it so much easier. It'll change our attitude at work. It'll change our attitude. Instead of, oh, that guy's an idiot. It's like, well, God, Jesus, my boss, I'm serving. And when other people are not, you know, they're sloughing off and they're like, it doesn't matter anyway. You're like, I'm not working for them. I'm working for the Lord. So I am doing it with all my heart. Makes it easy. It takes all the yeah buts, yeah, pointing, whatever. It just takes that off the table and go, my command is the same. And it makes it so much easier because somebody says, well, there's this, or that person did this, or the company's doing this. And you're like, well, my command's the same. I'm just going to make it easy, and I'm just going to show up the same regardless of what anybody else does. They can act like, you know, they're not going to work hard. I'm going to work hard anyway. We're not going to take time to turn there, but remember Joseph. Joseph is in prison. Joseph got wrongly accused. Joseph got accused of cheating. He got accused of, initially his brothers hated him and sold him into slavery. And then he gets sold into slavery, and then he's doing really well with his boss. And then his boss's wife accuses him of trying to take advantage of her when it really was the other way around. So he gets thrown in prison. And so in prison, he just works as unto God the whole time, even though he's in prison. Other people aren't doing anything, but he's doing something. Eventually, he gets elevated. He goes to the right hand of Pharaoh. But you know what? The whole time, he was just working as unto the Lord. It made it real easy. He's like, you could say, Joseph, you're a slave. Quit it. Slough off. He just kept working. Joseph, you're in prison. You got thrown in prison as a slave for not doing anything wrong. Quit it. He's like, nope, I'm just going to work as unto God. Yeah. See, somebody, you know, they want to be next to Pharaoh, but man, the other, it's like, well, now I'm going to bring my A game because I'm with Pharaoh. The reason he was with Pharaoh is because he brought his A game when nobody's looking. Yeah. It just makes it so much easier. It's just simple. It's like, well, that's too easy. That's not being aware. It's a being aware of the Bible. It's being aware of what God told us. It makes it just so much easier in life. Like, well, nope, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to be simple about it. I'm going to be sincere about it. People say, you're naive. No, I'm sincerely serving God. Don't you know what they said about you? Why would you do that? Because I'm not serving them. I'm serving God, so I'm going to give my best. I'm going to bring my A game. Look at, we'll read another version of this, Ephesians 6, verse 5. These are just scriptures that have these things in it that I think it's good to bring out. It's a good illustration of what we're talking about here. Ephesians 6 verse 5 says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service." This is parallel to Colossians. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free." In the NLT, it says, "Slaves," you could say employees, "obey your earthly masters or employers with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ." That just makes it real easy, right? I remember being, working in Lincoln, Nebraska as a new engineer, straight out of college. I'd worked there as an intern, but just working. And, I had four bosses like within a year. Because just the way things changed. And the first guy that I had, he was a jerk. I felt like I was supposed to work there. I was supposed to take the job. He's just not easy to work for. But they all know I'm a Christian. And in fact, they would poke at me on different things. They try to set me up at different times. I'm thinking of one thing in particular, just put me in an awkward situation because they know I'm a Christian. Well, they're looking. Well, it wasn't that long. That guy, he wasn't a great boss. He wasn't evil, but he wasn't great. It wasn't that long before I got moved out of his group into another boss. That guy was okay. Well, then I had another boss. It was either another one for a little bit. And then finally I got moved into somebody that I had for many, many years, had a great relationship with and worked with him. But all through the beginning and all throughout that time, my command was the same. Just show up, do your job, work as well as you can. Don't give them any reason to talk evil of you. Because when they talk evil of you, I don't want anything to show up that they're saying something about Jesus, because look at that guy. He professes to be a Christian. I see him, he talks about that, and look at him. He's just being lazy. I don't want to give any reason for that. So I did my best to do that. But it makes it really simple because I'm not serving them. Didn't matter which of those four guys was actually my boss. I'm not serving them. I'm serving Jesus. Verse 5 there in the NLT, it says, "Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ." Tries to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. So this is the thing. We're talking about simplicity, sincerity. It's like, well, this is the situation. That might look like the situation on the surface, but above that is, it just boils down to I'm serving God, and He's just, and He'll take care of it. See that? All this layer of noise goes away. It doesn't matter what's in this layer. It doesn't matter who the players are. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the company does. It doesn't matter what my boss does. Because all this is abstracted because actually I'm serving God, so I do the same thing anyway. Makes it really simple. And that's in every area. We're just using this area as an illustration. But regardless of what the area is, marriage, my wife did this. My husband did this. It's all like this. But at the end of the day, whatever the word tells me, it tells me the same thing. And if I just say, well, I'm going to do what the word told me. If I go, well, but it's complicated. Yeah, that sometimes is an excuse for me to do what I want to do and not do what the word is because it's complicated. Versus, I abstract that out. I just say the noise, it doesn't matter. It does, but it doesn't. At the end of the day, if I leapfrog that and just say, I'm going to be simple about it and just sincere in what God says, then I can just get rid of all the detail. I'm not saying they don't matter. You got to deal with them. But the overriding factor is what God's saying in that area, and that will guide me. I'm just like, well, I know that's there, but this is what the Bible said, and so I'm going to do my part anyway. And you know what? Then the Bible, it will get what the Bible says in that area. What God said, what the Word of God says, it's going to work for us because we're just too simple to do something else. People, you know, the thought comes, well, I wouldn't do that if that happened to me. Well, let me look at the Word of God again. Okay, it reads the same. That means it didn't really say asterisk, don't do this if the person says this or if they do this. I mean, there may be some cases where the Word of God actually does say if it this, then that. But in our case, if it doesn't, then it's real simple. I just go by the playbook. I just do what he said. I don't have, then you know what? It makes me protected from all the arguments that would pull me off. It makes me like, well, I don't see it differently in the Word of God, so I'm just going to serve him anyway. It makes me, just like Eve. Well, did God really say what he, yep, he did. End of story. Just stay on and who knows what history would have been like then. And it's that way in our life. That's what Paul was saying. I don't want you to be corrupted from that simplicity, because when you are, it opens up all kinds of things that are easy. It opens up complexity. It opens up duplicity. It opens up falseness. It opens up not being consistent. It opens up complications that we get really easy to be pushed off. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is Apostle Paul. He wrote all these other things, but you know what he said? The overriding thing is, I just know Jesus and his crucifixion, and that drives everything I do. And so I'm simple in this. I'm sincerely going after God. I push everything else aside. And so anything else I do is subject to this. It's subject to I know Jesus. Talked about the bondservant's employee. It's subject, I'm not serving these people. I'm serving Jesus. Well, it just makes it easy. You know what? I'm not serving that boss. I'm serving Jesus. It's not just about my husband. It's not just about my wife. I am serving God. So how would you have me to behave here? With my kids, with other relationships, with my church, whatever. It just clears things up and makes it so that we aren't vulnerable to things distorting. The enemy will try to make it, well, but it's more complicated than that. Nope, it's really not. We'll just go right back up to, I know Jesus, I'm going to do what he said. It makes you, it's like a shell around you that protects you. Just simplicity, just walking clearly. Praise God. I want to read something from the Old Testament in closing. You know, the Israelites didn't do a good job of actually walking things out, but this statement, these statements by Joshua really do, even though he didn't have, Jesus hadn't come, but these are the types of attitudes we need to have in relation to all this. Joshua 24, verse 14. He's talking to the Israelites, the Jewish people. He says, now therefore fear the Lord. Reverence the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. So your sincere truth in serving him simply, sincerely, truthfully. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Put away the other stuff that's complicating this issue. Put away all the distractions. Serve the Lord. Just serve him. Verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Notice what he says. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All this other stuff, all this other noise, all this other distraction, he's exhorting them. You should just serve God and put away all their stuff. But if for some reason you have a problem with that, you got to make the decision. But as for me and my house, we're just going to serve the Lord. We're simple about it. We're not getting distracted. We're not going to ask questions, trying to get off. We're just going to serve the Lord. And it makes it real easy. Oh, this came up. Well, we're going to serve the Lord. This came up. Well, we're going to serve the Lord. It's not like, well, yeah, consider that. Oh, because that just starts making it intricate, complicated, getting over. Not dumb. Not talking about not having any brains. We're just saying single, saying being simple. Being serving, being strong makes us impervious to things that will pull us off. And ultimately, then we are able to serve God the way he would have us to do it. We are walking after him, staying strong after him, and not being pulled like Eve did. We're not distracted. We're not deceived. We're single. We're simple. We're sincere. No matter what somebody says, well, you're simple. You just don't know. Oh, I know, and I've chosen him. Amen.